Take hold, engage. You are now entering the Cerebro Podcast. Thought of the day comes from 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. In weakness, power reaches perfection. Joke of the day. How can you make positive home improvements in your life? Answer: with some good tool time. Okay, I might not be as funny as Tim the Toolman Taylor. Some of you are probably thinking, I don't think so, Rob. But at least I got my affable alliteration going. Hopefully during this episode you will enjoy the crunch of more corny jokes that will keep you from going to Al Borland. Actually, I sometimes saw myself in the Land of Oz. I did not see myself on the Yellow Brick Road like Aaron Bischoff. The Yellow Brick Road took Aaron Bischoff on a surprising journey, playing the role of Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz at a recent performance at the Hasbrook Heights High School in New Jersey. Her mom, Michelle, always saw Aaron as a star. As a three-year-old, Aaron had her first surgery to treat osteogenesis imperfecta, a genetic disorder known as brittle bone disease. In her 17 years, Aaron has had at least 103 bone fractures and 10 surgeries. Aaron's mom called her scars lines of courage. I will have more information on Aaron's journey as Dorothy in her wheelchair in the show notes. But back to my journey with the Wizard of Oz. I identified with the Tin Man. With his axe and oil can, I certainly saw the repeated rigidity of his muscular movements. In a heated, heavy-hearted exchange, the wizard labeled the Tin Man with some repulsing, reverberating rancor. I realized when I was older that the wizard was bellowing with bluster for dramatic effect. But here is what the wizard said. You clinking, clanking, clattering collection of collagenous junk. Thinking back after watching the 75th anniversary clip on YouTube of how the wizard volcanically vocalized like a vampire's sucking shrill, it still sends shameful scarecrow shivers through my stilted stance. The fervent fear felt feverish, especially with the amplified anxiety added by the wounding words of the Wicked Witch. She was the first malevolent monster that I remember, with terrible threats of, I'll get you, my pretty. There was also the recoiling repeat of swirling sounds from the musical mischief in the background. I was not even evilishly envious of the Wicked Witch or her green skin. The green skin that I was drawn to as a kid was the marvelously macho, misunderstood, muscle-bound Lou Ferrigno flexing as the inexplicable Incredible Hulk on TV in the 1970s. He flipped cars and pushed over trees. The awesome ability incredibly inspired me. For those who do not remember the opening monologue, here it is. Dr. David Banner, physician, scientist, searching for a way to tap into the strength that all humans have. Then, an accidental overdose of gamma radiation interacts with his unique body chemistry. My accident of spinal meningitis left me with cerebral palsy when I was born 2 months prematurely. I understood as a kid the need to go out and survive in the world, even when I felt like a lonely kid. My desire for strength and independence came from wearing leg braces and going through surgeries, including a full body cast. I also identified with David Banner and his mission of helping people and finding answers to his condition. David Banner often put himself at risk of exposing his secret. This is part of what gave me the courage to later attend private parochial grammar school and high school. By the time I started using crutches, I realized I had more control over my upper body than I had in my lower legs and feet. The crutches transferred tremendous fitness and strength to my hands, arms, shoulders, and chest by showing me some resistance results from exercise. I still struggled with coordination of my legs and balance, but my spastic super swings became a way to buttress balance for better brain cascading control conducted despite my short-circuited synapses. One of my favorite Incredible Hulk episodes is The Harder They Fall. During the first part of that episode, David Banner got hit by a car. He was paralyzed and went to a rehab hospital. At the rehab hospital, he befriended another guy who was in a wheelchair, who was also rehabbing. They formed a friendship, and the other guy coached David Banner on the move physically and mentally away from his deep depression. They later decided to hang out and go to a bar. After being knocked down the stairs during a bar fight, David Banner transformed into the Incredible Hulk. The super strong man struggled to stand because the Hulk didn't understand that he was injured. He grabbed onto walls and railings as he struggled to climb the stairs. The scene has repeatedly resonated with me because I have successfully struggled with stairs, but I have also frequently flown down steps after losses of balance. Often when I landed, I was more embarrassed that I fell than hurt most times. My ego was bruised more than my body was. The more people were around, even if they offered help, the more I felt embarrassed because I still struggled to find out how my body worked and didn't work. Many times I navigated the steps of the staircases more easily than the staircases in the common, curious, childhood culture clashing comments from other classmates in the 1980s. I was the only kid with a physical disability in school. I got a lot of help from teachers, other classmates, and staff during my thousands of trips up and down the stairs. I often swallow the fears and anxieties of navigating the steps again and again. For the first 4 years of school, I only traveled up and down stairs to get to the playground and to get to the lunchroom. Both of those trips offered obvious incentives for food and recreation. At home, I often practiced with the white steps and iron railing outside my house. Many times, I would jump from the last step or two in a swing through the air for a split second. This ticked off my parents, which was an added bonus. They often lectured me about how each jump or swing sharply stimulated my cerebral spasticity. They often directed me to follow doctor's orders or therapist treatment plans, but they also weren't the ones who lived with cerebral palsy 24 hours a day. I never had the courage to say that as a kid. Therapy at home with my dad was often a constant chore, where I was chided and corrosively corrected because it was never enough. From my handwriting to my grappling gait, I wanted to compete, though, and dealt with the frequent physical pressure and punishment. There were some essential things that would have made for more productive physical therapy sessions with my dad. Remember, it was the 1970s and 80s. It was a very different time and place. Even though we don't see eye to eye these days, I know that he did the best he could to help me, but it came at an emotional expense. Part of that was due to the fact that I was told I had a minor or mild case of cerebral palsy. So any mistake I made, especially with therapy or school, I often took the criticism personally because I did not correlate it to my disability. There was a lack of dignity and respect, I felt, and a definite sense of perfectionist powerlessness produced by parental pressure. On more than one occasion after doing physical therapy at home, my dad would see me fall or trip and order me back to do more physical therapy. From his perspective, he may have thought, I am spending hundreds of hours of doing therapy and thousands of dollars on surgeries and it's not helping. Of course, all I remember was the boiling frustration. Over the years, I developed using the respective railings and the walls to help control the speed of how I ascended and descended steps. One of the easiest exercise tricks of scaling steps was to lean forward into the stairs while I went up and lean back against the stairs in case I slipped or lost my balance. That way, gravity was working with me instead of against me. One of my superhero father figures was my physical therapist at Juanio. Juanio is a registered 501c3 organization and the premier provider of lifespan services in the Hudson Valley of New York State for individuals with developmental disabilities, behavioral health challenges, and chronic medical conditions. Juanio is dedicated to advancing the independence, well-being, and equality of people with disabilities and special needs. Juanio is more than a physical facility. Juanio comes from the Native American word that means independence. My physical therapist's name was Jerry Stoller. What a great name for a physical therapist. We wrestled against each other as tag team partners like the World Wrestling Federation superstars. WWF was before it became the WWE or World Wrestling Entertainment. We wrestled with and against each other and left each other exhausted on frequent Friday afternoons. But after the matches were over, we appreciated each other's efforts. We both gave it everything we had on the mat and left it there. After working with him for a number of years, I transitioned the PT of physical therapy into personal training. I worked also to condition my upper body to help support my lower body. For example, if my feet slip because they lost control, my hands and arms and crutches would take over to swing until I was able to regain my balance. As my arms and shoulders grew stronger, I would do perpendicular push-ups from the first or second bottom step of my school or my home. Because I enjoyed and had better control of my upper body, the exercise exhilarated me. Like the cartoon He-Man, Masters of the Universe, the more I used my crutches, the more power and control I wanted. I started to feel the power of conditioning myself. By the time I was in second grade, my parents moved my bedroom upstairs. One of the exercises that became a nightly ritual was me purposefully turning out the light at the top of the stairs after ascending them. Then I would walk like Daredevil and not be able to see in the dark, but I was able to feel and sense the heightened muscle movements in my legs and feet. Of course, I slipped a few times in the dark, and I also added night lights for safety and security. I banged into walls or furniture early on, but over days, weeks, and years of trials and tribulations, the personal training helped my muscles react, sometimes even before I knew what happened. Talking about trials and tribulations, in 1989, The Incredible Hulk returned to TV on NBC with The Trial of the Incredible Hulk. The TV movie paired David Banner with Matt Murdock as Daredevil. It remains to this day my favorite Incredible Hulk iteration because of the brotherhood that was forged between the two characters. I continued to build up my physical strength and use my crutches and other physical challenges. My upper body strength and conditioning helped me to avoid falls at school and also helped me to recover more quickly. I became obsessed with weightlifting and physical training in high school. I started drinking protein shakes and muscle maker drinks to get even stronger. I also read Muscle and Fitness magazines and Arnold Schwarzenegger's Encyclopedia of Bodybuilding. In my freshman year at Marist College, I started to hang out with the gym crowd. In the second semester of my freshman year, I gained almost 20 pounds because I went to the gym every day. Soon after that, I lost interest in bodybuilding because I felt like I was just eating to keep the weight on my body. The lesson I learned from bodybuilding, though, was the importance and value of exercise and routines. Routines and exercises can become drills. D-R-I-L-L-S. And powerful tools. The acronym DRILLS stands for Dignity, Respect, Increases, Larger Living Space. Another version of the acronym is Dignity, Respect, Increases, Larger Learning Space. It basically means that all exercises start with dignity and end with the space to grow. It started from a leadership empowerment and abuse prevention program from Virginia Commonwealth University for people with disabilities. It was based on some principles of domestic violence pieces of training. The core principles of the empowerment training were the dignity and respect of feelings and feeling safe, as well as deserving respect. Last year, while I was transitioning into my condo, I re-engineered it into the drills tool. Over the years, I wanted to become Lou Ferrigno. I am not Lou Ferrigno, but I am a strong version of myself, and I have used strong physical and mental exercises to build up resistance and increase my strength in different areas. Your mind can become a better conditioned brain. Bodybuilding gave me more courage, and it helped me by giving me a stronger heart to train myself. What exercises or routines do you want to do with drills? I'd love to hear your thoughts. You can listen to the show on Podbean, iTunes, and Google Play. You can join the show Facebook group at The Cerebral Podcast. You can email the show at thecerebralpodcast@gmail.com to send questions, comments, or ideas for the show. Here is a poem that I wrote 20 years ago about the power of weakness. Marathon of Understanding, circa 1998, by Rob Targos. I don't like the way people automatically judge what they see, because they assume by the way I look that I can't walk free. All they look at is my limiting disability, instead of noticing how obstacles strengthen my body. I do it to enhance my physical shape and test what barriers I could harmlessly escape. I soon sense the level of my muscular power as my skin sweats and I experience a cardiovascular shower. My arms and legs are in repetitive motion, and I am a flowing example of synchronistic rotation. Now I am not conscious of how instinctively I move because I am in the middle of an awesome stepping groove. By the laws of nature, I need to abide, and I also need to keep myself in a constant stride. Along the way, I am enjoying the effortless ride, accompanied by the smile of abounding pride. To some, I might seem like a fragile freak, but after I chase that myth, people realize I am not weak. It took years for me to train, to learn how to battle this tricky terrain. I also had to continue on despite the falling pain, in order to make the biggest gain. I had to consistently work out in an atmosphere of constant doubt. My crutches impact my speed, but my progress, it did not impede. The knowledge I accumulated with each cane taught me to overcome some people's overwhelming disdain. I realized that no matter what, I had to continue on in order to reach the end of life's ultimate marathon. At the end, I took my final place, knowing that no matter where I finished, I did so without disgrace. My mind and body had its combined revenge because I found a way to get past this physical challenge. My crutches made it look like I was downhill skiing when all I tried to do was run like any other human being. I know that since I was able to run the distance, all other people need to give me is enough of a chance. At times, the journey was frustrating and long, but it taught me a lesson of how truly to become strong. To many people, my accomplishment is a surprise, which shows the liberating effect of a simple exercise. Thank you for listening to the second episode. And remember, it takes effort to be vulnerable, be accountable, and be respectful in the way you treat others and yourself. You can be the biggest variable in your life when you take ownership. Now, take hold, engage in your world. You are now leaving the Cerebral Podcast.